This is the Quality News Network. Today, Congress will hear Iraq progress reports from U.S. Commander David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker. Petraeus is expected to say the troop surge is working and should be extended. An ABC Washington Post poll says 53% of Americans think General Petraeus' report will be more optimistic than realistic. 66% say British President Bush will not alter his Iraq strategy, no matter what the progress reports say. 7 U.S. soldiers were killed this morning in a vehicle rollover in Baghdad. The Wall Street Journal reports the U.S. is building a military base adjacent the Iraq-Iran border as part of an effort to stem the supply of Iranian weaponry to the Iraqi insurgency. In Pakistan, former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif returned from exile today to campaign against President Pervez Musharraf, the man who ousted him in a bloodless coup 8 years ago. Sharif was immediately taken into police custody and deported to Saudi Arabia. German authorities say at least 5 of those charged last week with plotting terrorist attacks against American interests in Germany were trained in Pakistani camps run by Al-Qaeda. Following a plea by Afghani President Hamid Karzai, the Taliban today said they were ready to sit down at the negotiation table. Karzai said peace in his war-torn country would be impossible without dialogue between opposing factions. Inspectors from the U.S., Russia, and China have arrived on the Korean Peninsula on their way to examine nuclear facilities Pyongyang has promised to dismantle. The chief of the U.N. Nuclear Watchdog Agency said today Iran should do more than the bare minimum to prove its intention to use nuclear power strictly for peaceful purposes. He said Tehran's motives are still distrusted in most capital cities. In southern India, at least 15 people were killed yesterday when a highway overpass under construction collapsed. New wildfires burst into flame over the weekend in the Sierra Nevada and California Santa Clara County. 27 major fires are roaring throughout the nation. More than half of them are located in Idaho and Montana. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, the 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Those living in Antarctica and the lower portion of South America will witness the second partial solar eclipse of the year tomorrow. A magnitude 6.8 earthquake struck the west coast of Colombia late last night. There are no immediate reports of serious damage or injuries. The seventh named storm of the season, Tropical Storm Gabriel, battered the North Carolina coast yesterday before heading out to sea again. According to a report released today by state and federal regulators, many so-called free lunch investment seminars aimed at seniors are at best misleading, at worst fraudulent. The study says investment firms often fail to supervise workers who stage the seminars. The Lundberg survey says the average per gallon price of gas rose 6.5 cents last week. That's the first increase since early July. The highest prices at the pump were found in Chicago, the lowest in New Jersey. OPEC meets today in Vienna under increasing pressure to boost production. Global demand is far outstripping supply. Most oil ministers, however, say they have no intention of changing current output. Light sweet crude is trading at $75.78 a barrel, gold at $714.10 an ounce. More at our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
these
and then
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Hey, hey, hey! And welcome back me! Welcome back to Foxed Up, everybody. Yes, it's a live show. I know I've been gone for a couple of weeks. I went on holidays, and then I needed to recover from my holidays. So, I tell you, 1 week in the bush is just not nearly enough, especially when you have to come back to Fortress Sydney because the Shrubbo is in town. I tell you, last week I was half torn about being on air. I figured if I was on last week, it was just going to be nothing but a constant bush apex Howard, you know, for an hour every night, which I'm probably going to do that tonight because I'm just going to wrap things up. However, there was also that part of me, every single day something went down that would have just been genius material for a radio program. So people who were familiar with this program have been familiar with the guys from the Chasers War on Everything, which is an ABC television program down here, and a satire news program. These guys were out to make a bit of a mess at APEC, and they said so straight out front. The Chaser, you know, nothing is sacred for these guys, and the more people think that they're above reproach or above question, the more they want to go after them. And I think that this is exactly what society needs. You know, to me, you know, thank God for the Chaser, because if we didn't have that, there would be absolutely nothing to counter the nonsense that goes on here. Now, some $350 million were spent to put on this APEC thing. No, Bush, it's not OPEC. It's APEC. You numbnuts. And I can't believe he did one of the classic American things from like the 80s. Okay. I had a friend of mine who used to tour with an Australian band called the Divinyls. And he said he when I first met him, and this is years ago, he and I were coming back from doing a gig, and he was talking about his like second trip to the United States, and the Divinyls were playing off in, I don't know, Kansas or, you know, Kentucky or, you know, some some southern-ish state. And they played a venue for like 3 days, you know, three nights in a row or some such thing. And the host technician, I guess the local sound guy at the venue, kept saying, you know, I don't know about you Austrians, you all do everything different. And like the guy never, you know, after like, I don't know, if it was 4 days a week, he never actually realized that he was calling this Australian an Austrian. And when Bush said that, I was just like, Jesus. Could anyone be more embarrassing to have as a president? Or your leader? Dear leader. But anyway, so the chaser applied for press passes, you know, media badges for APEC. They tried to go through, you know, the right channels. However, Howard and the Australian Federal Police and the New South Wales Police were going to have none of that. And so they were outright denied, and they were in fact instructed to come nowhere near APEC. It's amazing how, what is it, five or six young Australians with a sense of humor can, you know, conjure up such fear in the so-called powerful. Now, you've obviously heard about the chaser creating their own little motorcade with Canadian flags on it, getting through not one, but two checkpoints in the red zone, got 10 meters away from Shrubby's hotel, and Chaz, one of the boys, gets out of the motorcade dressed as Osama bin Laden. And what, and what I thought was great was, I was watching the Bill Maher's program from this weekend. He says, and you know how they knew it wasn't the real Osama? Because they caught him. And what I love is, at the City Morning Herald, I got a couple of links up on the blog today at foxed.headonradionetwork.com, and you actually can see when they did it again, the second time they showed up with a cardboard cutout motorcade and tried to get in. But they actually had their own security pass, bogus security passes made up. And these are the passes that they showed to security. And I'm looking at pictures of them right now, and they're APEC passes, and it says APEC 2007 Chasers War. And the you know, hologrammy thing has the APEC logo, and it says joke. And on the bottom, it actually has it labeled as the insecurity section. I mean, how foolish does this make the Australian Federal Police, the New South Wales Police, look? And there's a huge investigation going on that when the big marches happened on Saturday, there were hundreds and hundreds of police officers who removed their identification from their uniforms. You're not allowed to do that. That is illegal. And I hope the investigation is done by someone other than the police. But we'll see what happens there. Now, Howard's been jumping up and down saying, you know, all this over-the-top scare the crap out of you security nonsense was all worth it, don't you know? No, it wasn't, Johnny. It wasn't worth it. What did you do at APEC? Not much. Aside from sign a uranium deal with the Russians, real smart, signing a uranium deal with the Indians, again, really smart, you dumbass. Let's see, what else? Oh, we supposedly have put an environmental agreement. Now, the environmental agreement, I haven't seen the details of as of yet. However, Chinese President Hu said to Howard today that the only vehicle that we should be dealing with to deal with climate change is Kyoto. This is the Chinese president, who they constantly, all the deniers and all the people that say Kyoto's crap, all say that China's not part of it. China wants to be part of it, but they were given a little bit of breathing space because of their developing economy, as opposed to those of us who already have our economies developed. So right there, I think Howard got a massive slap in the face. After Howard's been going off, but China, but China, but China, but China, but India. And China says, no, Kyoto's it, mate. Because Kyoto has actual targets. as opposed to aspirational goals. So the environmental thing that came out of this, which they were harping on so much about, I think is going to end up being a bunch of hot air, as most things are, and we're coming up on our first break of the day, and it's really, really good to be back. So stick around. We got some more stuff. We got lots of APEC and Chaser stuff to do today. Got a really good track of the day for you when we come back. So stick around. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back. Oh, nice one, Bob. Some Rush.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
It's Monday. The UN still refuses to speak up against foreign governments who are exterminating their GLBT citizens. And in the U.S., another gay man was beaten to death. Tired of it? Join me tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
There we go. How you going, everybody? Welcome back. A little bit of Mr. Alex Lloyd, who happens to be our track of the day as well. But I'm going through stuff today, and I'm saying, now how did I not have his track called Green as a bumper for this show? What a humongous oversight. I think it's good to be green, and it used to be clean. Anyway. Now that all the leaders have headed off, as of today, they're all gone, I do believe. Sydney's trying to recover, come back to life. The 5-kilometer-long, 3-meter-high fence that surrounded all the wonderful public places in this town has been coming down since 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon. And I really, really think that this, well, it's already showing that this entire thing is not going to be any kind of a boost for Howard's popularity. Now, it's starting to get really, really interesting here with this election. No matter what Johnny Howard does, he cannot seem to make up any ground on Labor, and Labor just keeps, you know, every poll it's like another point ahead, and his preferred prime minister, just Kevin Rudd, continues to kind of slowly climb up and up. And I know Howard's got to be freaking. He's got to be freaking. You know, he's sitting there going, geez, I've tried to scare the crap out of these people again. That didn't work. I've been trying to tell him that the economy is going to fall apart if Labor gets in. That's not seeming to work. That whole thing about how interest rates are stable under us has come to be untrue because, well, we've had 3 rate increases in the last 9 months. And it's all just kind of falling apart. Now, what I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall at one of the events over the past week. When Chinese President Hu, and we're not talking who's on first, was being welcomed at a ceremony kind of thing, the differences between Howard and Rudd were just laid right out there. Now, Johnny Howard gets up and does his bit of a speech, which, you know, all the Chinese in attendance were, you know, nice and were listening and attentive. And then the Labor leader got up to speak. Now, the difference between the Labor leader and Johnny Howard is the Labor leader speaks fluent Cantonese. Now, he opened up his little speech in English and then suddenly switched very smoothly to the language spoken by 1 billion people on this planet. And observers said that almost the entire visiting, you know, entourage of the Chinese and all the local Chinese kind of sat forward on their chairs. Now, in my mind, you pull away all the other differences between these two guys. You know, Labor and the unions, Howard and big business, and all that kind of stuff. In Australia, Australia's largest trading partner is China. Okay? Between, you know, regular goods and all the coal that we export to them. It's massive. Who would you want as your prime minister? Someone who can only speak English and sucks up to a president halfway across the planet that really, aside from military stuff, has really not done much for your nation? Or would you like to have someone who can speak without a translator to the largest economy in the world, or soon to be, your largest trading partner? What do you think the Chinese reckon? How much would not be lost in translation in that situation? It's just, I'm just putting it out there. And I think that impressed a lot of Australian voters as well, saying, hey, you know what? Regardless of what happens, we're going to have a relationship with China. Maybe it'd be really good to have someone in our government that can actually speak the language. I bet it would do a whole lot for terms. I would think. I could just imagine Rudd getting into office and then actually talking to China about signing on to Kyoto in the second phase. I bet it'd be a whole lot easier with Rudd than with Johnny. But anyway, enough about that. And that's why I picked today's track of the day, because with all of Howard's, you know, chest, you know, pounding antics and his fear mongering and all this other stuff, I reckon the Australian public is laughing at him. A big belly laugh. You scared little bug. But hey, everyone needs a good laugh, and the Chasers sure gave us a bunch, and we're not, and you know, none of us have actually seen any of the real footage. At their MySpace page, they've got a little bit of a clip of what went on last week, but anyway. In honor of Howard being shown to be the worthless little piece of bat squeeze that he is, we'll do a little bit more Alex Lloyd off of When Angels Mend, his second record. Everybody's laughing. Roll it, Bob.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day. to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. Amazingly, it's not Congress that's been trying to restrain this runaway presidency, it's the courts. Time after time, federal judges, and even occasionally the U.S. Supreme Court, have pulled back on the reins while Congress has allowed Bush to gallop all over the Bill of Rights. On September 6th, another judge rose to the challenge. Judge Victor Marrero ruled unconstitutional parts of the revised USA Patriot Act, which was supposed to be an improvement over the original. Marrero said it's unkosher for the FBI to use national security letters to demand consumer records from private companies. These national security letters are essentially warrants that the FBI draws up itself without a judge's sign-off. The FBI then slaps them on telecommunications companies or on financial institutions and then can impose a permanent gag order on the recipients of these letters. This violates their First Amendment rights, Judge Marrero ruled, and the Patriot Act also violates the separation of powers, he said, because it doesn't give the judiciary a sufficient oversight role. At this point in our rickety democracy, the judiciary seems to be the only branch of government we can stand on, and that branch might snap with any more Bush appointees. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
I can't see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Holy 80! Welcome back, everybody. It's just fucked up here on the Head On Radio Network. Jeez, where did that come from, Bob? Jeez. Anyway, that was cool. I'm going to Rochambeau the terrorist, yes. During the break, I decided to go and have a quick look at this article that I caught and hadn't had a chance to read about WHO and Kyoto and Howard. It says here, the Prime Minister John Howard compromised on his Sydney climate change declaration to accommodate the tough stance of the Chinese President Hu Jintao, supporting the United Nations and the Kyoto Protocol. The protocol includes binding targets for developed countries to cut emissions. Okay? Do you know why I want to explode just reading that? Do you understand? It's just I want to take this opening paragraph and plaster it on billboards all over the place and say, all you climate change deniers and Kyoto spitters, all that crap talking about China not being included, go shove it up your arse. Because you've been full of it with that line all this time, saying that, you know, they're not doing anything, they're not being bound by things. Well, guess what? They want to be bound by things. continues on. It says, at the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation Forum leaders meeting on Saturday, shortly before the release of the declaration, Mr. Hu bluntly told Mr. Howard that the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change and its Kyoto Protocol was the legal basis for any international cooperation on climate change. He also told Mr. Howard the framework and the Kyoto Protocol were the most authoritative, universal, and comprehensive international framework for tackling climate change. Developed countries should face their historical responsibility and their high per capita emissions, Mr. Hu insisted, saying the country should strictly abide by their emissions reduction targets set forth in the Kyoto Protocol. His remarks were circulated by Chinese officials after the APEC leaders' meeting and before the final city declaration was released. Differences between Mr. Howard and Mr. Hu emerged publicly yesterday at the end of the APEC leaders' meeting, when Mr. Howard attacked the Kyoto Protocol as never having the capacity to deliver on climate change and saying it was time for it to be left behind. Mr. Howard wants the Sydney Declaration on Climate Change to move global climate change negotiations beyond the Kyoto Protocol, but the compromised final declaration leaves open the question of how this will happen. Despite this, Mr. Howard yesterday hailed the Sydney Declaration as a highly significant because both China and the U.S. had agreed to discuss a long-term aspirational goal to cut global greenhouse gases. He said this would help to lead a new agreement on climate change for 2012 that could bring the big emitting nations together. And in a significant achievement for Mr. Howard and Mr. Bush, the declaration does not specifically mention the Kyoto Protocol or its provision for binding targets for developed countries. So even though Hu put his foot down, Bushy still gets what he wants. You can't tell us what to do. You can tell us what we might want to try about thinking of considering of having meetings about. Driving me freaking crazy. And Mr. Bush will host a new round of talks in Washington this month before UN talks on the post-2012 agreement begin in Bali in December. Do you get my why? I really want to, find. Sorry, gets me so pissed off. Really, it gets me unbelievably pissed off that in this article they don't even mention. They don't even go back to past comments by people like John Howard, people like Malcolm Turnbull, his so-called environment minister, from any of these people who constantly would poo-poo Kyoto. And no one involved in Kyoto ever said it was the be-all, end-all. It was the first step, but it was taking a serious step. It says, pressure from China and other Asian countries resulted in the final declaration being significantly different from the draft circulated to APEC officials last week by Australia, and now includes language reflecting the Kyoto Protocol, insisted on by China, and waters down the agreement to achieving a common understanding on long-term aspirational goals to reduce global greenhouse gas emissions that can pave the way for a post-2012 climate agreement. While Mr. Howard yesterday hailed the Sydney Declaration as a genuine commitment by APEC leaders to move beyond the Kyoto Protocol, the final draft drops references to a new post-Kyoto framework, a clause pushed by Australia. Always looking for that get-out clause. Instead, the less formal words post-2012 arrangement are used in the declaration. The new language avoids disagreement between China and the U.S. over the fraught issue of whether the next round of UN climate talks will ditch the framework set up by the Kyoto Protocol. Labor spokesman on the environment, Peter Garrett, said the final Sydney Declaration was a thorough rebuttal of the position Mr. Howard set out before APEC, and it affirmed the desire of countries to negotiate climate change inside the UN framework. Mr. Howard has tried to spin the declaration, worthy as it is, into something greater than it was. So, maybe we got a little bit more out of this than even I was expecting, because I really didn't expect much. But hey, if President Hu made all these changes happen, and he's supposedly the big, dark, environmental horse, It kind of really blows a hole right in the hull of the entire argument, doesn't it? Or is it just me? but I tell you, it's been an unbelievably it's been a bit surreal here, you know? Let's see. What are some of the weird things that they did? Okay. They packed up a whole bunch of exotic animals from the Sydney Zoo and moved them, supposedly for security reasons, to another location where then the wives and husbands of the visiting leaders could go and have a little private petting zoo. Now, first of all, they say that they're removing the animals for security reasons, but then they end up being your own personal handling, you know, petting zoo for really, really, really rich and powerful people. Now, the koalas were even allowed to be handled by these people, and the koalas are not allowed to be... It's never done. You know, it's one of those smell of humans things. But yet they were allowed to do that. Now, there was a... When the big marches happened on Saturday, which there were legal wranglings back and forth, the police were trying to keep the protesters from being able to actually march down the red zone and all this other stuff, and finally the decision came down that the Stop Bush Coalition and the other major groups had to march down an alternative route. Now, so they did do this, and Howard and the police and everybody are, you know, sitting there going, "Now, all you activists, don't you start any violence, because we know you want to have riots and all that, and it's those dangerous hippies. They're terrorists too." Well, first of all, turnout was down, and I know that's because of the Fear Factor campaign that they waged for the past 3 months. Okay. And then the draconian extra powers that if you're arrested for anything, or actually just picked up for anything during APEC, you would be locked up without chance for bail and no charge until after APEC was over. Now, so someone was arrested for jaywalking and put in jail for 22 hours. There were a few nasty incidents. I saw one bit on the news where three police officers took down one supposedly violent protester. Now, the guy does have a little bit of history. However, there were two cops on either side of the guy pinning him to the ground while the third cop in the middle is just going both arms, just punching this guy like he was a 20-pound bag hanging from a rafter. For like a good 6 or 8 seconds. Bang, 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 bang. All in the gut. All kidney shots. And the police reckon that they didn't overstep their bounds. Sorry, but wrong. The police overstepped their bounds. Or actually, the police were given powers beyond what they should be allowed to have. You know, increased search. You know, you could just go up and search anybody. That was it. And one of the things that, going back to the Chaser, last week on the Chaser's program, even before APEC was officially, well, I mean, in the, you know, kind of in the midst of everything, they went down and were getting people on the street, you know, a kilometer away from the APEC zone and acting like cops and doing random APEC security checks. And almost all of these people did whatever this actor told them to do. One guy stripped down to his bloody jockey shorts in the middle of the street. Could have bloody cavity searched this guy. And, you know, just, okay, take off your shirt. Okay. Take off your pants, sir. Okay. And once again, the Chaser Boys show how stupid the public can be. However, I think the public's waking up because the Chasers' ratings are going through the roof. They reckon that they're going to hit an all-time high this week. And by the way, just John Amato over at Crooks and Liars, if you're listening, and I know that, believe me, this is not, you know, I'm not taking the piss, but it's not the Chasers as in more than one chaser. It is possessive. It's the Chasers' war on everything. Just so you know. I've been seeing all week all these posts over at Crooks and Liars going, the Chasers, we love the Chasers, the Chasers. And I'm going, it's not that Chasers, it's the other Chasers. But anyway, I'm just going off on a tangent. But over the Chaser Boys have a MySpace page, and the little teaser clip that they put up has been getting some absolutely riotous comments, and most of it is the public saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for showing this for what it was. An absolute farce. And a waste of money, and nothing but a big old... how do you say this on radio? Screw it. Just a big old... swinging the big lance. I just... It's going to take probably a month before everything... Bob's going, nice effort. I did, you know, I got stuck there. I'm like going, okay, now how do I word this? And everything that was coming up, like, nope, not that. Nope, not that. I know that we're not FCC kind of controlled, but, you know, I try and maintain once in a while. I try not to be the sailor mouth that I was when I used to tour. I was sitting there seeing some of the pictures, some of the shots of things, and the office down in the city where I go and do some work for some fine folks was right in the heart of the red zone. What was their plan for APEC week? Catch the last week of skiing. And their poor receptionist had to go in every day to answer phones. I feel really, really sorry for that girl. Must have been a nightmare because there were like two blocks inside the red zone, which meant that they would have had to go through, I think, two different sections of this 3-meter-high fence, having to show ID and explaining why you're there and you know, I mean, yeah, this 21-year-old, you know, college graduates, the bloody, you know, terrorist. She's going after Bush. You know, and during the march on Saturday, you know, there were a couple of incidents, you know, over the entire, you know, 10 days or of the thing or whatever, there were 88 arrests. Okay, that's nothing. And 88 arrests, many of which were thought to be over the top. You know, and it's just, it was shown to be just the joke that it is. And old Johnny Howard didn't know how to deal with it. You know, and Bush just proved how pathetic and embarrassing he is. And most of his appearances with Howard, there were just kind of all these little statements about how, you know, Johnny's the guy, and this and that, and the other thing, and Johnny's the man because you know what he's on about, and you know that what he stands for, and all this kind of stuff, and it was just, you're like, you know, put it back in your pants, mate. Is this why you didn't bring your wife down? You're gonna have Howard go tell Jeanette to take all the husbands and wives out somewhere so that you and Bushy can go have a romp at the lodge? I mean, what is this about? Sorry, I've just... The whole thing's been so absolutely ludicrous. And it's really sad. You know, it's coming back that this entire week has actually hurt Sydney's tourism draw. Many city hotels have had bookings after APEC canceled, And all those hotels within the red zone who were not involved in AIPAC lost for 2 weeks because they couldn't even have their regular business, because a lot of the smaller hotels are also pubs here. So all the small hotels down in Sydney near Circle of Quay would have all been screwed. All those people out of work for a week. The tourist trade just screwed. Shot to hell. And travel agencies are seeing an actual noticeable drop in bookings and a rise in cancellations. And this is supposed to be a pro-business economic cooperation get-together, powwow, kissy-kissy. David's in the chat room. Love that image of Chimp and the PM romping. Dave, I'm sorry, that image makes me ill, but then again, my twisted sense of humor is probably slightly different than your twisted sense of humor. And no, the Horn Hippie wasn't arrested, because the Horn Hippie was given specific instructions by many, many concerned people from all walks of life to not go anywhere near it. I had people beg me, because they know I wanted to go. And I took advice. And the fact that I'm not, you know, I'm still not a permanent resident of this country yet, I didn't want them having any excuse to just boot me out. And like the last American that they booted out because he was on an anti-war speaking tour, don't you know, they flew him back to the United States with, I think, 4 Australian federal police officers to escort him on a chartered plane back to the United States, which that young man had to pay for. He got billed for all of it, the officer's time, and he did nothing except come down on a speaking engagement and go on a couple of rallies. But he was getting coverage. He was getting airtime. And they just couldn't have that. So, no, I didn't go down. I'm telling you, I really, really wanted to go. I wanted to go down there with my press pass, my recording gear, my camera, and just go down and observe. But that was too much of a risk. And that's really sad in a so-called democracy, that you can't go down and speak your mind. Now, what's very interesting is that there was a pro-Bush protest group of 4 guys. They were allowed in the red zone. However, when they decided to show up in Hyde Park, where a lot of the other stuff was going on, some guy came by with a big old squeeze bottle of tomato sauce and went and grabbed and squirted their banner. But I mean, that's about how bad it got. In fact, some police actually did commend the protesters for having been, you know, peaceful. Funny that. A pro-peace demonstration being peaceful. Who'd have thunk? The other thing that I was also I was kind of worried about was that some audio company was going to ring me up and say, "Hey man, we need an operator for this thing at the Opera House where Bush is going to be." And I would have been like, "I'd love to, guys, but no." Only because I might not be able to control myself, and I'd hate to, you know, damage the reputation of a company that I might actually enjoy working for again. But then again, most people who know me know my views, know my activism, and know my inability to keep my mouth shut. So they probably would never have considered me for any of it anyway, unless one of them was just wanting to have a little bit of chaser style fun, you know, because, hey, how fun could that be? Aside, you know, ignoring probably the police beating and the detention that would follow. But how fun would it be to get hired to go and, you know, do front of house audio for a Bush engagement? And I had control of the PA. Holy crap. That would just be... That's almost a godlike vision. someone says, not necessarily mixing things into the PA. Nah, hiding behind my console with a microphone, going through the PA, shooting questions at Bush, asking about his family backing the Nazis. You know, you know, how much cocaine did you do at Camp David? Let's see. So how close is your family still connected with the Bin Ladens? Let's see. Oh God, you could just have so much fun. And Mr. Howard, why do you back this guy in an illegal war that has killed hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians? How dare you? You know, and I could do it from, like, you know, a hidden location. Wireless microphones can be great fun. And it could take a while before they actually figured out. Anyway. I've just gone on a complete tangent. But anyway, that's all right. We're coming up on the end of things. Coming up next, Mr. Joe Vecchio. I see him already in the chat room. Getting ready to wake your ass up if you aren't awake already. Big thanks to Bob Kincaid for engineering and producing the program today. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. Thanks to our bloggers and our mods. Oh, geez. I can't even tell you how much work you all do. Well, I don't have to tell you. You know. But it's so much work that you save the rest of us. And, you know, geez. Thanks, everybody. So, Cup of Joe coming up next, and all the rest of the horn line up for the rest of the day. As we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we will see you tomorrow.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish. And sometimes I would rather face not eating than face licking it clean and admitting when I'm selfish. And I tell you that I'm suffering from the worst type of loneliness, the loneliness of being misunderstood. More poignantly, the loneliness of being
would stop thinking about music and politics. I would tell you that the personal revolution is far more difficult than the first step.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In northern Mexico, just a couple of hours ago, a truck carrying more than 25 tons of dynamite exploded. At least 30 people were killed, more than 140 injured, two dozen of them critically. Today, Congress will hear Iraq progress reports from U.S. Commander David Petraeus and Ambassador Ryan Crocker. Petraeus is expected to say the troop surge is working and should be extended. Seven U.S. soldiers were killed this morning in a vehicle rollover in Baghdad. A U.S. soldier died Sunday of injuries sustained in combat in northern Iraq. The Wall Street Journal reports the U.S. is building a military base adjacent the Iraq-Iran border as part of an effort to stem the supply of Iranian weaponry to the Iraqi insurgency. In Pakistan, former Prime Minister Nawaz Sharif returned from exile today to campaign against President Pervez Musharraf, the man who ousted him in a bloodless coup 8 years ago. Sharif was immediately taken into police custody and deported to Saudi Arabia. Following a plea by Afghani President Hamid Karzai, the Taliban today said they were ready to sit down at the negotiation table. Karzai said peace in his war-torn country would be impossible without dialogue between opposing factions. Ahead of next week's visit by the U.S. Secretary of State, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas met today in Jerusalem to discuss Palestinian statehood. Federal investigators say Medicare insurance companies failed to return to consumers tens of millions of dollars collected improperly. The report says the administration failed to properly audit the companies. It's been a week since millionaire adventurer Stephen Fawcett disappeared in a small plane over the Nevada wilderness. Searchers say hopes of finding the 63-year-old alive are dimming. Near Baltimore, a teenage college student trapped in his wrecked car for more than a week managed to crawl out and find help.